Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'll be joined by Bob Walters, the Managing Director of BWT, a training and consulting company focused on property management. Bob is going to share with us his experience in the real estate industry. We're going to talk about the reason behind the growth of independent property management only businesses in recent years and why your rent roll is giving you the lifestyle that you want when you retire. But before we catch up with Bob, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Consol, Australia's leading real estate agency software, offering property management, sales management, property data, and website solutions. Let us help you grow your business. Visit www.consol.com.au.
This week I'd like to tell you about an app called Suite Process, and it's a really cool app that we stumbled upon just recently here at Steps. And it helps you create standard operating procedures for your business. Now, we all know how important these are in real estate. Well, rather than build procedures in Microsoft Word or Excel, this online app has a really clean interface that allows you to create step-by-step the processes you need in your business and import screenshots and videos on the fly. So if you're doing screenshots of how you would do something and you need to share that as part of the procedure, you can add those in very, very easily. And I think it's a really neat way of getting everything out of your head into a standardized procedure. I know the office managers and admin staff are going to love this in particular. So go and check it out at www.sweetprocess.com. I'll spell that out for you, SWEETprocess.com. And you can start a free trial, and then they have paid membership options from around $29 per month. So if you're looking for smarter and faster ways of building standard operating procedures in your business, this is a tool that you might find quite useful. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Bob Walters, the Managing Director of BWT, a property management training and consulting company. When he is not training and consulting, Bob owns and operates a specialist residential property management business in Sydney, True Property, as well as being the executive director of the leading property managers of Australia. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Josh. It's great to be with you today.
Now, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a moment, tell us a little bit more about you personally, and then give us an overview of the many businesses you're involved with.
Oh, that might take up quite a long time to tell you all that, but I'll try and keep it to the headlines. I started in property management when I was 18 years old, and I worked as a letting clerk for a suburban real estate agency and sort of worked my way up to become a property manager. And then I went into sales and then became a sales manager and then opened up my own real estate agency in 1980 and built that up over a 10-year period. Over that 10 years, I built up a rent roll of just under 1,000 managements and then sold that in 1990 and decided to have a break from real estate for a while. And after about 3 months of vegetating, I decided that the call of real estate was strong, and I went back into it, this time as a CEO of a franchise group, which I did for 3 years. And then I went to work for the Real Estate Institute of New South Wales as their training and development manager for 5 years, and then left there and went out into the consulting world. And I set up Bob Walters Training and Development in 1999. Mm-hmm. And one of my first consulting clients was John McGrath, and I went over to his office to help him out to grow his property management business. And after consulting to him for 6 months, he decided to offer me a job as head of property management at McGrath. So I spent the next 5.5 years at McGrath. Mm-hmm. Learn a lot during that period from John. And then I decided in 2004 to start my own property management business called True Property, and had that for the last 10 years. Along the way, we've got the BWT property management training and consulting business, and of course, Leading Property Managers of Australia and Leading Property Managers of New Zealand. So they're the things that keep me busy at the moment.
Now, you're one of the busiest men I know in the real estate industry, Bob. And for our listeners who aren't familiar with the LPMA conference, it's just around the corner. It's a little over a month's time from when we're actually recording this interview. And full disclosure to our listeners as to the reason I know this, Bob, is because you've kindly invited me to speak at the conference again this year, to which I thank you very much. But can you give our listeners a little preview to LPMA and what they can expect this year?
Okay, LPMA this year is in the same location as it was last year at the Surfers Paradise Marriott. It's on the 23rd and 24th of April. Mm-hmm. It's a two-day conference, jam-packed with lots of keynote speakers, and there's also breakout sessions for agency principals and for property managers. We also have our LPMA annual awards dinner on the Thursday night, the 23rd, and that's our sort of big gala night of the year where LPMA members all dress up for the awards, and we have a great night of fun and dancing. But LPMA for us is all about providing an opportunity for people in the property management industry to learn, to meet together, to network, to share ideas, and talk about growing their businesses.
Bob, you work with property management businesses all around the country. What are the big differences in property management from state to state if we look at it from a bird's eye view?
Well, Josh, there's not a lot of difference between property management that's done in the various states of Australia. All the fundamentals are the same, you know, whether you're in Cairns or Karratha. All the basic principles of property management are all the same. And I suppose the only real difference I find consulting around different states is that over in WA, because industry practice over there is such that they tend to inspect properties more frequently than in most of the other states of Australia, and their inspection reports are, you know, much more highly detailed than you tend to find in the other states.
You mean routine inspections, Bob?
Both, you know, ingoing and outgoing inspection reports, which, you know, they call PCRs, property condition reports, and also routine inspections. Because they tend to be much more highly detailed over there and done more frequently, that certainly increases the workload of of property managers over there, so they tend to be able to manage less properties per staff member than in the other states. But on the flip side of that, they tend to make a lot more money out of property management over there.
And what do you think that is, Bob?
Well, because they've developed the art over there of being able to charge for most of the things that they do that in many of the other states property managers tend to do for free. The actual percentage commission rates over in WA tend to be higher than in the eastern seaboard states, and also these humongous property condition reports that they do, they tend to be able to get quite good fees for those, you know, upwards of $150, $200 a time. Mm. And so what I've typically found is that apart from the actual percentage commission for property management, with all these ancillary fees that they tend to be able to charge, you can actually find that your profit per property is it's typically a little bit higher over there than in other states, certainly from my experience anyway.
And if we have a look at the fee side of thing, Bob, a lot of our listeners will resonate with the really the adage that fee cutting is a bit of an issue all around the country. I don't think it's just designated to one part of the country. I guess, is there any part of the country that you've seen it happen more so than most? And maybe have you got an idea of some of the regulatory conditions of why that might be the case, or has that got nothing to do with it?
Well, certainly having Sydney as my hometown, that's the area I'm most familiar with. Mm. And, yes, that's that's a big problem in many parts of Sydney due to increased competition and a lot more real estate agencies taking property management more seriously and trying to grow their rent rolls. There's a lot more competition fee-wise than there has been in the past.
Was there a turning point, Bob, do you think, where principals started looking at property management a little more seriously? We often hear that after the GFC, a lot of principals really turned their attention to the value of their rent roll as something to take very seriously. Was there a turning point, do you think? Was it the GFC or around that sort of time when you noticed that there was a bit more of a shift towards focusing quite seriously on property management?
I think the GFC had something to do with it, but from my experience personally, because I was talking to a lot of agency principals who were saying to me they weren't making the level of profits that they used to make from their sales businesses because of the high commission rates or high shares of commission paid to sales agents and so on, that a lot of people I know in the business were saying that they just weren't making the margins that they once made out of sales. And so obviously they're turning their attention to the property management side of the business and saying, well, what can I do to be more efficient? How can I make more profit out of property management? And so, so the GFC was probably a factor in there, but it's, I think, something that's been sort of building over the last sort of 5 or 10 years, really.
Certainly in a market that's quite buoyant at the moment, Bob, a lot of the selling principals would be tempted to fall back into their role as a selling principal and their salespeople very much focused on making those sales. I'm keen to get your thoughts on, do you think that can sometimes affect the focus on property management? And what would you say to principals really that have got a property management department, have put the time and effort into building it, but in a buoyant market tend to sort of sway towards sales and put a lot more of their focus into that department?
Yeah, I mean, that will always happen. But from my personal experience, I'm certainly finding that those agency principals that have made a commitment to build their property management businesses tend to stay pretty focused. And I suppose that's one of the things that keeps me in business because, a lot of my income is derived from regular coaching sessions and mentoring sessions with agency principals to keep them on the yellow brick road, because some of them might be tempted to stray back into focusing on their sales businesses and, you know, and then not putting the level of attention to the PM that they really need. But certainly from my experience, the people that I touch tend to stay focused in property management. And certainly now, as we all know, there is a growth in the number of specialist property management businesses that are popping up.
And what do you think they're successful, Bob? A lot of the independent property management only businesses, what are some of the advantages of, that they have?
I think, Josh, that so the general public tend to understand the fact today that if you want a specialist service, if you want someone who's totally focused on a particular area, that you need to hire a specialist rather than a general practitioner. And I think the public now understand that property management is not just an appendage to a real estate sales business, that it's a separate industry of its own. And so, therefore, a property investor, if they want someone who's really going to be highly skilled to deliver the kind of advice and service that a property investor needs, that they need someone who's totally focused on that activity and not sort of diverted to other things.
What do you think it is, Bob? I'm keen to get your thoughts on the, I guess, the customer experience that people have with a property management department. It's, you know, a lot of people would resonate with me when I say that it's a transient industry, to say the least. There's lots of staff changes. There's lots of turnover. There's lots of client turnover as well. I'm not saying that's the case in every business and every marketplace, but it's certainly something that a lot of people would agree with. What do you think is the underlying factor as to why that might be the case if we just look at it from a bird's eye view?
Well, I mean, as your listeners will probably know full well, that property management is a high-pressure occupation. You're the meat and the sandwich between landlords and tenants. Often you're having to manage a large number of relationships all at the same time, and that has an effect on people mentally. You know, if you're constantly managing 100 or more properties, and you've got tenants to deal with as well, and you've got repair issues and people who breach their agreements and things like that. Unfortunately, a lot of the time spent in property management is in negative type situations, and that will have an effect on people mentally. Certainly, once again, I assume your listeners would know that the customer service expectations too of landlords and tenants are ever increasing. You know, through technology now, we're an instant society. People want instant attention, and if you're having to deal with situations quickly and in large number, you've really got to be mentally strong to be handling that long term.
You wrote an article not too long ago, Bob, that I really enjoyed. You talked about how people don't compare the service they get from property manager A to property manager B anymore. They're comparing the service they get from property manager A to the service they get in every business that they interact with. I really think that that's an important point. Can you explain to our listeners a little bit more of what you believe it means for property management businesses moving forward?
Well, I mean, in the past, we used to think, well, you'd compare your property management service from this particular company versus the property management service provided by that particular company. But today, I really believe that landlords and tenants compare their service experience, say, from their property manager to maybe the service they got the last time they were in a hotel, or the last time they were in a restaurant. You know, what was the service experience there in those situations? Rather than just comparing within industries, they tend to compare across industries now. I mean, the underlying theme is, in my view, what are we doing as property managers to actually treat landlords and tenants with the respect they deserve, and the fact that we really care about them and their business? It's that care factor. I know it's difficult when you're managing a large number of relationships sort of all at once, but it's really about the fact now that property investors want to know that their property manager really cares about them and their property.
Mm, I think it's absolutely true, Bob, that we really need to look at other industries for inspiration on how we can add to the value of the service we provide. And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why when we run the LPMA conferences, when we put speakers on stage, it's not always necessary to have somebody who's always from the property management space, because when it comes to customer service, we can learn from experts that are in other industries, because we can take those fundamental customer service principles and transplant them into our property management relationships. For example, we've got a speaker coming up at the LPMA conference this year called Amanda Stevens, who is a consultant in customer service in other industries, but there's a lot of principles and examples that she can give in the customer service side of things that can be used in property management situations.
I've got another example for our listeners, Bob, very much to your point. If you go into any Starbucks around the world and you ask the person behind the counter to flip over their apron, on the back of their apron is the customer service standards for Starbucks internationally. I don't know if anyone knows that, but that was certainly something that their head of customer service put in place a couple of years ago. I know of a couple of property management businesses that have their customer service standards printed on their desk. It's right in front of their computer while they're typing away all day, and that's certainly looking outside of the property management industry for inspiration on how you can increase the customer experience in your business.
Certainly, I've been pushing the barrow for a long time to encourage property management businesses to have documented customer service standards and a money back guarantee, and to include those customer service standards in their marketing collateral and on their websites and so on, to be able to put their money where their mouth is. and to have those customer service standards within reach of everyone's desk, to be able to know what sort of level of service they need to be delivering on a daily basis. And likewise, I know in our own business, we always hate dealing with customer complaints, but we have a little complaint handling protocol we follow whenever we get a customer complaint, and that's really at arm's length for everyone in the office to be able to ensure that when we do get a complaint, that we deal with it in the right way so that the customer gets the right outcome when they do want to make a complaint.
Bob, I'd love to turn the spotlight now onto moments of your career that have made you who you are today. We often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in the real estate industry, but here on the Real Estate Pros podcast, we want to take it down to that ground level of actual moments in time where you've either failed or succeeded in your career. So with that in mind, can you tell us a story, take us there with you, of a moment in your career where you felt like you'd failed? Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
I suppose I've got to be a little bit careful how I explain this one, seeing there are a lot of people in the industry, hopefully, that might be watching and listening to this. But let me take you back to my very, very early days in property management when I was an assistant property manager. I was 19 years of age, and my boss sent me out to do a final inspection of a property. And I suppose I'll try and cut the story short, but went to do this final inspection and went into this particular flat, and the flat was totally empty except for some piles of rubbish in the corner of the kitchen, some garbage bags and stuff in it, and this crocodile skin that was laying on the lounge room floor. And so I thought, you know, as I was a rookie property management person at that stage, I just thought that the property was empty, the tenant had decided to leave those things behind. And being a young 19-year-old guy that was single and doing all the usual things a 19-year-old would want to do, I thought, gee, that crocodile skin would look great on my bed at home. And so I actually rolled up the crocodile skin and put it in the boot of my car and took it home and laid it out on my bed at home. And I thought, well, if ever I get a girl to come over to my place, I'll take the opportunity to show them this beautiful crocodile skin on my bed. Only to find that next morning the detectives from the local police station arrived at the office and said that that particular tenant had reported the theft of a crocodile skin from his flat. And did I know anything about it? And, of course, that's when I first learnt about the fact that he hadn't actually finished vacating the property, and I had to say to the police, I'm sorry, but I've taken the crocodile skin. I actually thought he'd left. And cut a long story short, unfortunately the tenant wanted to press charges, and so they took me down to the police station and fingerprinted me, and my boss came down and actually paid my bail to get me out. And I had to go to court to face this charge of stealing this crocodile skin. But as it turns out, the detective actually thought it was quite humorous. And they actually got up in the witness box and sort of said that I think he's made a mistake, sort of a genuine mistake. And so what I was fearing, of course, at that time was that that was the end of my career, because certainly in New South Wales, if you've got any sort of criminal record, you can't work in the industry. So being 19 and having been in industry less than a year, I thought that my career was over because of that. And it was just lucky, I suppose, I had a good lawyer and some local detectives who thought the whole thing was quite funny. And I got off without any conviction being recorded. So that's when I really thought that I'd made the biggest real estate mistake of my life, and I thought my career was finished.
Well, I think there's people all around the country listening to this right now, Bob, that are thinking of all kind of Paul Hogan references to call you next time they catch up with you. But I think it's certainly a lesson for, a lot of the people coming into the industry that may not have the experience that that you have now. And in hindsight, it was a bit of a silly thing to do. I'm sure you wouldn't mind me in saying that. Well, Bob, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. And can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment in your career where you felt like the formula you had in place was the right way to go about forging a career in real estate? And again, take us there with you of a moment in your career, whether it was from the very early days or further on, that really stands out, whether it was a client you were dealing with or a property you were looking after. Tell us a story of a success moment and what was going through your mind and how that made you feel.
Well, I don't know if you'd call this an actual success moment, but certainly when I made the decision after leaving McGrath in 2004 to go back into property management, that was sort of a defining moment for me. Having previously built up a rent roll of 1,000 managements and then selling it and then sort of going into the corporate world and then in the training world for a number of years after that, making the decision to go back into property management and building my own rent roll again rather than building somebody else's rent roll, certainly that was what I'd regard as a good decision at the time, because certainly 10 years later, you know, although I'm sort of transitioning out of the property management business as we speak now, it was certainly, in my view, a good decision to make that jump back into building my own business, because for business owners, that's your real payoff is, you know, when you're building a substantial asset of millions of dollars worth of rent roll, yeah, that's your superannuation fund that you can enjoy with the fruits of all that labour.
What would you say to those people who have an aspiration to one day own their own rent roll business? Where do they start, in your opinion, and really what would you say to give them a little bit of inspiration?
Well, I firstly say that if you've made the decision that you want to make a lifetime career out of property management and you want to have your own business, get out there and make the decision and do it. Obviously, don't just go in blindly. Get some good advice from people that know how to set up a business, that can advise you on all the little pitfalls and things that you need to be conscious of. Understand the fact that property management, if you're opening up a specialist property management business, it takes a long time to build up sufficient cash flow to make the whole thing worthwhile. And so you're going to work for very little money for a while until you build up the cash flow and the asset value. And, of course, you know, let's say you've built up a rent roll of 100 properties and say you're in Sydney and that rent roll is worth $500,000. You could then leverage that particular asset to be able to maybe borrow against that asset then to expand the business up to the next level. But I suppose in general, make sure that you've got, you know, a written down plan for what you want to do. Make sure you've got a budget and get some advice from people who have walked in those shoes before and just do it.
And what about those people in a real estate business? I mean, there's, in my experience many, many years ago in a consulting capacity in this space as well, Bob, there was a lot of people within the business that would do vendor finance deals. And for our listeners who aren't familiar with what that means, is essentially bringing people through the ranks and helping them buy the business from the principal. For those people in those situations, what would your advice be for property managers and senior department leaders and that sort of thing who are in a business that the principal may be exiting the business at some stage? How do you think those conversations should be had, and whether that's advice for the principal on how to foster those people, or the discussion from a senior department leader to have with their principal?
Yeah, well, I'm actually going through this very thing at the moment myself, because I mean, about 12 months ago, I sold a chunk of my company to one of the property managers who's been with me about 5 years. A young guy that's very ambitious and is a lifetime property manager, and now I'm actually going through the next stage of selling further equity in the company to that property manager and also one of the other property managers. So my advice to principals would be that you know, if you're wanting to transition out of the business, if you've got people that are in your property management team that you have faith in, that you know are loyal to you, that will be able to carry the torch for the business going forward, to start having those discussions and giving them the opportunity to buy equity in the business.
What are some of the advantages of promoting people from within the business to buy the business from you as the business owner?
Well, one key advantage would be that certainly from my experience, you know, you'd be amazed how somebody's enthusiasm lifts when they've got some skin in the game. You know, when they've invested some of their own money and they've maybe borrowed against their own property to get the funds to invest in the business, you know, when people have got skin in the game, that tends to lift their enthusiasm and puts a fire in their belly. And the good side of that, of course, is that if you've got good quality people around you and you're doing that sort of thing, it does, in fact, helps accelerate the growth of the business. But I suppose on the flip side of that, you just need to be, if you're a business owner, you just need to be conscious of the fact that in any sort of partnership arrangement, it's like a marriage. You know, if you're not compatible, it can be prone to problems. So you just got to make sure that if you're talking about selling equity to any of the employees in the business, that to actually do your own due diligence on them to make sure that they're going to be compatible with you going forward.
And I don't think it's for everyone, Bob, right? And certainly for some property managers who start out in the industry for all sorts of reasons, and really the reason why they join property management will be different to the person sitting next to them in the office. And some people start the industry. I remember the first day I started in property management in 2003, Bob, and the principal sat me down the day I started and taught me about the value of a rent roll. And it was a property management only business. And I always questioned why they didn't do sales. And she sat me down and drew it on the whiteboard and made it very clear what a rent roll could be worth and the reason why they did what they did. And certainly that gave me a lot of inspiration to really be a part of building that value for them as well. So for the people who do have an aspiration to own their own business one day, Bob, what's your advice on, you know, really the questions they should ask themselves before they make the decision that, yes, I do want to be a business owner?
Well, I think the first question would be, am I going to be comfortable doing this long term? Because as we talked about earlier, you know, there is a little bit of a churn that occurs in property management from time to time. So you really got to be looking in the mirror saying, am I going to be wanting to do this long term? Because with any business, you've got to be looking at it long term. You're not going to make a quick buck out of property management. And you really just need to understand the fact that when you go into business for yourself, you're going to have to make a lot of sacrifices in the early days that, you know, if you were earning, you know, $60,000, $70,000, $100,000 as an employee, that if you go into business for yourself, particularly as a startup, that your income is going to drop significantly and you need some financial resources around you to get you through that period where you're not making very much money.
Well, Bob, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from a research study by Billion Dollar Graphics. It found that 46.1% of people say that a website's design is the number one criteria for discerning the credibility of a company. I think it's a great reminder that 2015 might be the year to look at upgrading your website, and I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Bob, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Yep.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Well, probably the biggest inspiration in my career is a guy called Robert R. Andrew, who was my first employer in real estate. I worked for him when I first came into the industry at the age of 18, and I worked for him right through for about a little bit more than 20 years. So he was the greatest inspiration to me in the business, a wise old owl that taught me a lot about this industry.
Bob, what is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Golf. Yes, because I'm now sort of transitioning to working sort of less hours a week than I have in the past, I tend to fill those other hours in and trying to improve my golf game.
Yeah, look, it's a never-ending struggle, that, especially for me. I'm usually out of ammo on the second hole, Bob. But what is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
The favourite business book I've read is a book called Up the Organisation, written by Robert Townsend. It was given to me in the very early days of my career. Robert Townsend was a guy who took over the reins at Avis Rent-A-Car decades ago when Avis was about to go broke, and turned that business totally around with some quite radical business development and business principles. And as a consequence of that, he wrote the book called Up the Organisation. And I think there was a sequel out called Further Up the Organisation, where years later he added a lot more interesting business principles. So, that's a book that I even refer to today from time to time.
Bob, do you have a favourite technology resource that you use daily to help you run a better business?
At the risk of sounding cliched, Josh, I could not operate without my iPad Mini, which I carry around with me constantly. Because I'm not in the office as much as I used to, I've been able to create an environment where I can plug into our business remotely through cloud technology, and so often I'll be looking at what's going on in the business remotely using my iPad and, of course, communicating that way, and also having all my documents and other things that I want to use. And I certainly couldn't survive technology-wise without a software program called OneNote. Mm-hmm. I got turned onto that a couple of years ago by our IT consultant, and everything I do in my business now goes into Microsoft OneNote.
And for our listeners who aren't familiar with OneNote, Bob, can you describe what the software does?
OneNote is a software program that enables you to basically put everything into it's like having a bunch of notebooks, workbooks and things for different things that that might be, different parts of your business, or in my case, the different businesses that I'm associated with.
Is it similar to Evernote by any chance, Bob?
Yeah.
So
it's
similar
very
software.
Very similar to Evernote.
Okay, fantastic. It's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. But if you had to choose one thing, just one, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure it, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Well, I'd have to go back to the 5.5 years I spent working with John McGrath, and I learned about the fact of what can hold you back is self-limiting beliefs. Certainly when I came to that particular company, I did have some self-limiting beliefs about how quickly you can grow a rent roll, and I certainly learned during my period there that you can grow a rent roll at whatever speed you like, as long as you work out how to do it and you're prepared to pay the price to do it. And so I suppose the advice I'd give you there is, don't be sort of limiting yourself to think that, I can only grow by 5 properties a month, or I can only grow by 10% a year. You can grow by 100% a year if you just work out how you're going to do it and pay the price to do it.
Well, Bob, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote, and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
Well, my favorite success quote would have to be, Josh, don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. Now, I don't know who said that, but I just know that you just shouldn't listen to people who tell you that you can't do things or that what you're doing is wrong. You just listen to the little person inside and don't let people pull you down or don't let people limit your beliefs about what you can do in achieving things in business.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Bob has shared with us today along with all of the show notes by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Bob Walters. Well, Bob, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to resonate with the stories you've shared. How can people get in touch with you, find out more about your businesses and maybe a little bit more about the LPMA conference?
Well, if you want to communicate with me on email, it's bob@bwt.com.au. It's a pretty easy email address to remember. In relation to the LPMA conference, just type in lpma.com.au into your web browser and that will take you to the LPMA website and just click on the conference icon there and that will take you to a microsite all about the LPMA 2015 conference.
Bob, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to seeing you on the Gold Coast in a few weeks.
Lovely. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews. So please head over to iTunes and tell us how the show has helped you. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we could improve. Because at the end of the day, the show has all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. I hope you have a great week ahead and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.